This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. We haven't quite recovered from Christmas yet to do a main show, but I'm actually in a cupboard somewhere in America recording this.
Sounds like the start of a horror film.
Yeah, joining me, I need to find a way of escaping, I think. Joining me to discuss the Manchester United game, because we should speak about that. Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello, sir, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well. It's a shame I put out that second part of the unapologetic and dysfunctional Christmas special, looking back
yeah, that aged well, didn't
the
it?
Year of 2023, because the things we hoped we'd binned in 2022 was giving away two goal leads and losing, and apparently they're back.
With a vengeance.
Yeah.
People who can't buy a goal, yep, that's still a thing. Play against the Villa.
Supporting the My Old Man Said podcast throughout the festive period is NordVPN, and they are offering listeners an extra 4 months free on top of cracking savings on their VPN package, which can potentially help with that festive viewing, especially if you're away from home this Christmas, as a VPN enables you to watch sporting events and TV shows by switching your virtual online location from a physical location that might not allow you to watch certain matches at certain hours, while at the same time it also protects your online privacy on up to 6 devices. To get the exclusive package and also a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee, go to nordvpn.com/moms or check out this show's program notes as well. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll get into this, shall we? United, we're going to Old Trafford. We're fancying our chances.
Rightfully so, I might add.
They haven't scored in about 400 minutes. As soon as I saw Rasmus Højlund hadn't scored yet, I thought, well, he's going to score at 100%. Should have put money on it, in fact. People say, oh, well, it's not the old Villa anymore, but certain things are guarantees. That was one. So we needed at least a two-goal lead, and we got it. But before we get into that, going into this game, people talking about, I think in hindsight, they're making a lot of excuses now about injuries, even dragging the fact that Buendia and Mings weren't fit. Well, hello. But when you look at Manchester United's lineup, Casemiro, obviously Martinez is a bit of a long-term one from last season. So, you know, that's like Buendia, Mings, essentially. Luke Shaw out, Mason Mount out, Maguire, Martial, Lindelof, and there's a few more as well. So pretty much equal pegging, I think, in the injury stakes, really.
Yeah, both sides depleting. And also, both sides both coming off sort of European campaigns as well, so they've both had a lot of fixtures, so they're both in a sort of similar level of health, you would say.
There, and then you look at the lineup, and actually we have the personnel to actually play the same shape, and we drafted in Carlos back in at centre back, Konsa out at the right to give it that defensive shape that we saw against Manchester City and Arsenal. So Pau Torres obviously not 100%, he was on the bench. Dendonka coming in, obviously you'd prefer Kamara, but at least you've still got that shape, and Dendonka coming in means that McGinn can play further up, which I think in this game, you go for it, don't you, really? You'd rather have
Miguel
up there.
Yeah, and especially with our sort of defensive record away from home, you were thinking you'd fancy, well, before the game, and regardless of how this game ends up, you would fancy United to score here. Yeah. And their run. But then the first half sort of play.
But in terms of that formation, the shape's the same. Longley's in there. He actually had a good game, I thought, until...
He played well against Sheffield United, I thought, actually, as well. He's very composed on the ball. He's not quite as good as Torres in terms of his distribution, but I think he's a fairly solid player.
He's still decent distribution. Yeah. I mean, there was a few long balls pinged.
I like him. I think he's good.
So I think when you looked at that United team, which was depleted as well, there was enough. And, you know, the general disarray that they're in, and you're talking about teams like Bournemouth coming to Old Trafford and spanking them. I thought there was enough there.
I thought so. Especially going forward.
So I'm not making any excuses. That's what we're laying down the foundations for here. Because if you're 2-0 up after 26 minutes, you've got them in disarray. You're 2-0 up against a team who haven't scored in over 400 minutes.
And they've gifted you two goals. Because I didn't even think we were playing that well, really. It was a very scrappy game. Both sides were spraying the ball around all over the place. It was pretty... scratchy passing from both sides.
I've got another one. 2-0 up against a crowd that's booing and it's dead in the water. I mean,
you couldn't ask for a better position, could you, against the so-called big team?
You were thinking, actually, is this team going to be the team, even though we're missing some big hitters, that are actually going to run United through here? That's where the mindset was at the time. It was Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and drinks all round, really, wasn't it?
I thought so. You're two up, and you think, we haven't really got going particularly. We're not controlling the game. We've had moments. We just, ultimately, the keeper's kind of probably gifted you certainly the first goal.
Yeah, which, I mean, let's get on that. McGinn, free kick. Is Watkins offside if he touches it?
Possibly.
Because there was a bit of a hesitation, wasn't there, in terms of when
they were checking that one for a while. I mean, I laugh at this stuff. I mean, fair play to Austin McPhee for some of the creative things he's done. But when you've got, Amazon salivating over a set piece coach, we're thinking, he's whipped it into an area and the keeper's not come for the ball. The keeper's had a stinker on the first one.
Ashley Young used to do that regularly. Aim for the back post, and if everybody misses it, it's in. And he did. He scored a couple like that.
Or if someone gets a flick, or which a lot of the time people did, of course. Martin
it's
Larson,
not rocket science, is it? Although Nanny McPhee was celebrating with Emery as if he'd orchestrated it.
Well done, John. And then the second one again, shocking defending from United. A whipped ball to the back post, which, to be fair, McGinn actually did quite well against Sheffield United. He was doing that where he was dipping the corners. We whip him to the back post and he'd drop it in. It was quite a good tactic. Yeah. It's long, lazing it round the back. Free header, atrocious bit of marking. And all of a sudden, you're pissing yourself laughing. You're thinking, good Lord, how poor a man you that Den Donk has got his name on the score sheet.
Yeah, but with a little back heel flick as well.
I know, it was lovely. And at that point, you're thinking, bloody hell, if we get it another, which this is going to be done before half time.
If Big Daddy's scoring, it's probably in the stars that this is going to be a romp.
Yeah. I mean, even after the break, when we weren't even playing well, United were dreadful at the back. It was almost like attack's going to be the best form of defence here.
Well, I did think it wasn't over at half time. I thought they were showing signs.
They'd come back into it, hadn't they, to be fair?
Yeah, in terms of their pace, they were asking questions. And you thought, this isn't dead yet. We will need another goal, I think.
Or at least to get some control.
Yeah, another goal, regardless of the score situation, it would have just punctured the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have silenced the crowd. They were kind of half-heartedly starting to get into it because United were showing a bit of life. But you'd have knocked the stuffing out of United. It'd have been game, set and match and maybe a few more.
Mm-hmm. And even, at half-time, you're thinking it's maybe a little bit of stick or twist, but whatever you do, don't concede in the first 5-10 minutes. And Villa have had this knack relatively often this season, actually, of not starting second halves very well, whether it's because Emery bombards them with information and they're still trying to sort of, get their head around it. I don't know, but they started the second half again, kind of similar to Bournemouth, just atrociously, and then unfortunately never recovered. It's probably one of the worst 45 minutes of football I've watched from Villa in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it was
painful to watch at times.
I mean, even if you said, Alex McLeish took over at half time, you still wouldn't believe what you saw, because I thought,
well, he'd have parked the bus, wouldn't he?
McLeish would have parked the bus, as we should have done, and got it. I mean, we were talking off air before we started about that first game when we went to Brighton after we beat United at home, Emery's second game, where we literally parked a few buses after we went ahead.
We basically played a back five with one just in front. So it was essentially a back six with the midfield working ever so hard. And you just leave Watkins upon his own and let him put a shift in. It's like at 2-0 against a fairly blunt United. You're kind of thinking a bit like what Sheffield United did. So what do you think? Go on then. Knowing that we've got pace on the break, if you overextend yourselves, yeah, we can pick you off. It was a dreadfully executed game plan. And I think that's why Emery was on the touchline, just pulling his hair out.
Because if there's a team that's troubled our high line, the first team to really do that, that was the last time we were at Old Trafford.
Yes.
Where we saw they had pace, if they wanted to go more direct, and pretty much, you know, Forest played a similar way to United did at Old Trafford when we went to the City Ground this season. And we just set it up for them to do exactly the same and allowed them to go longer, bypass the midfield more, and just have a go at our back line. I thought we should be sitting deeper here and let them play and see what they can do, because I don't fancy them to score three goals trying to break down two banks.
No, and I would fancy us to potentially nick one on the break.
So there was no lessons learnt there. I mean, you talk about meticulous planning and all this kind of planning for each game. I don't think there's any history lessons of Villa versus Manchester United being taught to these new wave of players. Because 2-0 up is never safe at Old Trafford. It's like the ghost of Alex Ferguson wafted over Old Trafford, what we saw. I mean, and that's why you have a reaction as a fan. You know, people going, oh, meltdown, you know, we've got 13.
Not at all.
It's like, it's nothing to do with the overall picture. It is in isolation. How can you keep fucking up at Old Trafford when you've won the game pretty much?
And even though you've had the let off, haven't you, just after half time when Garnacho goes through, rounds the keeper, but he's offside. Very, very close shave. That should be the wake-up call. When you think, right, you've got to come out and wake up, sharpen up. And then the goal that comes after that, you're thinking, for fuck's sake. It's the same as what happened in the first half. I thought at 2-0, but with the warning signs that United had shown in the last, basically Villa stopped playing after half an hour, is how I viewed it. I called it somewhat arrogantly, but we was like, is the game won, or we'll try and manage it. But it's a bit of arrogance to me that thinks we can just take our foot off the gas. If anything, you've got to put your foot on it straight after half time.
Yeah.
Put your foot on their head and kill them. And we didn't. And then as soon as you let them back in the game and they get the first one back, I mean, it's a good finish, but questionable defending, as all the goals were. Our history, you just hit deja vu, don't you? And you're like, oh no, we know what happens here.
The crowd suddenly come alive, start to get jitters, and it's like, shit, deja vu. And you felt like they could actually win from here.
Yeah. Yeah, at 2-1, you've still, you know, you go straight up the other end and you have a massive chance. You think, oh, it's McGinn, isn't it? I think if McGinn puts that away, I think that knocks the stuffing out of him anyway at 3-1, because they've just gifted you a route back in the game and you haven't even played well. It's like we had the chances in the second half, and that was the thing. The theme really was both teams couldn't defend. I thought Man United at the back were and are atrocious, but so were Villa on the day. It was kamikaze defending.
I mean, they're missing key men.
They are, yeah.
In both defensive midfield and defence. I mean, Diego Carlos got the ball rolling, didn't he, with the...
Oh, it's a stinker.
It's not the first time. This is
not the first, second or third time, is it? He's had a few.
Yeah, where he just... It's a lazy pass and you can't just keep gifting. I mean, fair enough, if you're just starting to learn to play it out the back, but he's played against Manchester City, Arsenal, got clean sheets. He should be focused. He should know what he's doing. And he's made the mistake in recent history as well against Bournemouth.
So you'd think he'd be extra switched on. And you would imagine a bit like, you know, when I've always heard, you know, when cricketers go to Lords or all these places, when you go to Old Trafford, you'd think you'd be razor sharp on your A game, wanting to raise your game. I know Man United aren't at their best, but it's still Man United at Old Trafford. And the mistakes we kept making were sloppy. And
this should not be a case of United are really up for this because Villa are flying high. It should be Villa are really up for this because it's Old Trafford United. That's all you need it to be. It doesn't matter where we are in the league. If we're playing well, doing well, the intensity should be there because of the history of...
Especially when you've come off the back of the Sheffield United performance. That was my annoyance.
Yeah, I mean, I said on Twitter, this is the worst result of the year, and I stand by that. Just you 2-0 up.
And this is not a vintage Man United team, am I? Because we've lost games in the past, and you go down their team sheet and go, bloody hell, none of our guys would even get on the bench here.
And then suddenly Ferguson brings on Keane and Van Nistelrooy as substitutes. The Villa crowd start to boo because they know what's coming. They're 1-0 up, but they know it's game over already as soon as they come on the pitch. But this was opportunity. I mean, you've got to take your opportunities against United, and their team is shite. It's getting beat by almost everybody.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you talk about Villa and title, you know, most people think you're crazy. But you look at recent games we've thrown away. I mean, we've got results beyond what we expected, so there's a balance to be had there. But Forest, the only team they've beaten in like a space of 10 or so games. Sheffield United, what, they've won, was that their third win this season? And then the next game, they get beat by Luton. These are 3 points. There's no easy games in the Premier League. Well, there is to some teams. And if you're 2-0 up against United, you're looking at those and you're thinking 9 points. I mean, there's nothing taken for granted, but you're just basing it on what other teams have done to these teams. There's a reason why they're in the bottom four, Forest and Sheffield United, before we played them. And you think, actually, you know, we would be top now and clear. And you're thinking, people are going, yeah, but you're not going to win the league. But Leicester, you know, they said that to Leicester all the way through till about April. It took Leicester to get to about April before anybody took them seriously. And sometimes that opportunity, the unexpected opportunity is there. And I can't see us winning the league, put it that way, just because I think that these frailties is not what gets you over the line.
No, and I think response to maybe losing a couple of key players, obviously we missed Torres, we've missed Kamara enormously. Last couple of games, you know, the red. It's funny, we it felt like we had to sacrifice quite a lot for that win at Brentford, which felt huge at the time. You lost Torres, lost Kamara for three, basically lost Torres for two or three.
He fucked up. That's the problem. It's like he scored an own goal, you know, and cost us a game. You know, literally is. So you've got to remember that. It's not like, oh, you know, such an amazing player. We would have picked up a lot more points. Well, it's due to him that he's not playing.
Yeah, I mean, my thing in you know, reaction to your comment was, I tweeted it, that this isn't Villa Twitter going into meltdowns, because that's such an easy thing to say and people can't type back quick enough normally when we lose. But this is, you can either go down one or two paths here. You can go, this is who we are and we're good now and this isn't good enough and that's the way I choose. Or you can go, wow, we're punching so much above our weight. We're just glad to be here. To me, that's bollocks. It's like, We've been good over what? If you're good over a whole calendar year, it suggests you're a good team.
Yeah, it's like Leicester. I mean, you know, Leicester fans were, they didn't go, oh, it's all right if we lose, and we're top of the league at the moment. You know, we don't really deserve to be here. Maybe like 3 or 4 years. No, those opportunities do not come along like frequently. Yeah. It's pretty much nailed down who wins the league in the Premier League. It's between literally two or three teams.
Yeah,
but if the stars align, you've got to be ready to snatch that opportunity. You can say, oh, well, you know, as long as we finish in the top six, that'll be progress. That is a weak mentality. You're not going to win anything with that mentality.
And the players, you hear them talking, you hear Martinez, and the general underlying message between the players is, let's just go for it here. And that's why this one came as a surprise.
Yeah, you finished the sixth this season. Certain players are thinking, right, let's get out of here. We're not going to win anything here. This is a real opportunity this season.
And I mean, we discussed before we recorded this about, you looked at the table before the game with Newcastle losing earlier in the day to Forest. You think, if you put United to the sword here, all of a sudden the gap is going to need a pretty massive effort from one of those two teams to claw you in over a second half of the season.
I mean, you'd be 12 points. I think West Ham are the team outside the European spots. You'd have been 12 points above them. Mm-hmm. So that's quite a big swing across half a season.
I mean, I think that the thing when I sort of calmed down the day after the game was that, generally speaking, Emery's been a good learner. And as a team, we've generally tended to react well. But I thought the reaction at Man United was the reaction to the disappointment of Sheffield United. I expected Villa to come out the traps fairly well at Old Trafford, and we did. I didn't expect the second half. All of a sudden, you're kind of going into Burnley thinking you kind of need to win this one just to keep everyone thinking, yeah, we're good here. Because it's like, in the event that you were to drop points or lose,
Yeah.
I think you'd be getting a bit of panic stations from people going, what the fuck is going on here?
And you'd have lost that aura of not invincibility, but...
Oh, the media would look at you in the way they looked at Spurs. They'd be like, fucking Villa.
Yeah, I'm not so bothered about them. I'm thinking more about the players would start, doubts would start to creep in.
Yeah, because it's different, isn't it? If we'd have, say, gone to Man City with a full-strength City side flying and that happens, you kind of go, it's frustrating. But they can do that to anyone in the world. But this Man United team, abomination. You've just, and I really hope, because we've seen the way these swings can happen, I really hope this isn't a sliding doors game for both sides.
Yeah, which potentially could be.
It could be. Because Man U have got enough in their squad that if they all click and they, you know, bear in mind, this is a side that still got in the Champions League last season. These are not, this is dreadful, but by Man United standards. But when they're all there, they're still a top four side last year.
Yeah, I mean, if we'd have drawn this 2-2 after being 2-0 up, you'd have been kicking yourself and going, that was a real opportunity. But to lose it, that's where you think,
Well, at no point.
It could be avoided.
Yeah, I said that. It was an avoidable. It was predictable and avoidable, which is very frustrating. It was just a bit of one of those days where I think we had an off day on the pitch for the most part, and kind of an off day in the dugout. And we haven't said that very often about Emery, but some of the changes a bit later on, we're like, this is a bit too late now. It's almost like we couldn't stem the tide, and I think we had to be proactive, maybe at half time, and go, right, we're going to need to approach this as 2 45s, not a 90-minute match. It's another game here, because you knew United were going to come, and you knew if they got the early goal, they'd get their tails up. And then once they got the first, you thought, right, now you've got to try and kill the game or stem the tide, and we couldn't. And we've seen that a few times. And then obviously Phil's called us a boxer with a glass jaw. That was the theme under Gerrard. We thought we'd lost that, but this was one of those games where we just couldn't.
So what changes would you have done? You're talking about two games of 45 minutes. What changes would you have done? Because one of the things that potentially also impacted was Luca Dean going off on the, just after half time, the 50th minute mark.
Although I actually thought in the moments when he went forward, I actually thought Moreno looked really dangerous. I thought they were just there to be got at those men.
At that time, you're thinking, well, actually, that might, it's not so bad a change, really, is it?
Yeah. It was almost like a proactive one.
We might actually catch them out here.
I mean, it was even weird, you're 3-2 down and you're kind of going into the latter part of the game, and fair play to the lad, you've got to give him opportunities, but why are you bringing on Irogbunam, a holding midfielder, when you're 3-2 down in a game against a team who you want to be playing
like
away?
For like changes, although you could say Duran's a bit more attacking than McGinn, but not really in terms of affecting a game.
No, Diaby didn't work, Zaniolo didn't work. It just felt like whatever we threw it at United, were like, it doesn't matter now, we've got you on the ropes and we're going to do what we haven't done to many teams this year.
But I'm looking at who was on the bench to, let's say, play this last 45 differently in terms of going a bit more defensively, and it is hard to find somebody else. It's not as if you're bringing on Dendonka to add to Kamara and Luiz.
Yeah, I think that would have been ideal. Or even someone like a Tielemans to just keep the ball. That was the theme of the whole game.
I mean, we missed
Tielemans. Keep the ball.
I think of all the players, Kamara, Tielemans, we would have won this game no problem.
And I think some of the guys who were maybe on the pitch, you would have liked to almost be bringing off the bench if you were going into that with the team that played against Arsenal and City. You're thinking, if you bring Ramsey off the bench in a stretched game, great. I thought at 2-0 to begin with, I thought Diaby's going to have a field day here. I thought Moreno the same if the game situation suited. But the game situation had just turned on its head.
Yeah. So anyway, enough of that.
I'm still annoyed,
Mike. Until we go to Old Trafford next, in the FA Cup fourth round, probably. Any Villa news since we met over Christmas? A couple of games changed for TV. Two February games changed. The Sheffield United and Manchester United games. Sheffield United's just later kickoff, 5:30. That's at Sheffield United. And then the Manchester United game, the chance for revenge, has been put back a day to the Sunday 4:30 kickoff. I hate 4:30 kickoffs. 2 o'clock kickoffs on a Sunday. You can actually leave Villa Park and get some a Sunday roast, but 4:30, very inconvenient.
Rubbish.
Thanks, Sky. I've just released the fan advisory board notes. You are recommended to read them because it essentially highlights how the club are trying to, through the back door, put out this new crest that Chris Heck and Ben Hatton think that supporters aren't wise enough to deal with such things. So they're doing it without any mandate. At the moment, the fan mandate is the round badge. So if you want to impose a new badge, you should put that in a vote against the round badge to give it a mandate. That's the basic consultation. Because despite all the bum fluff of what they've said about, oh, intensive consultation, they presented it to the fan advisory board, didn't even ask the fan advisory board if they liked it or any comments. It's the first time the fan advisory board or any fans have actually seen it. And no consultation, no comments elicited, and it goes against the FA rules. So we will be contacting the FA regarding this, and I will put out the FA rules, etc., so supporters are fully aware that nowadays there's new rules in town where the FA legally protects supporters in terms of the main heritage assets, be it the badge, be it the stadium, be it the colours and the name. And if there are changes to that, then supporters across the board need to approve them and give them the blessing. You can't just be coming in, working at the club for 6 months and then pushing through whatever you feel like is what fans want. Even though Shield, 19% of fans said in the first survey that they thought the Shield was all right. So that's a massive, massive 19%. And the club acknowledge in all the communications, you know, supporters don't want this. They don't want the yellow lion because it doesn't stand out. And all through the consultation, it was claret lion, claret lion, claret lion, claret and blue badge. And all they've done is pretty much updated the current shields. And these shields have brought us nothing but pain and suffering. So anyway, keep your eyes open for that and demand that supporters should give it the blessing, and there should be a mandate, supporter mandate, for any other badge change. Right, apart from that, I think it's time to get back to some semblance of festive relaxing. What a bad Christmas we've had as a Villa fan.
It's been a bad week, actually, and we haven't said that very often, have we, this year?
The year was going so well from a Villa.
Well, do you know what? Let's end it on a positive with the Burnley game. It'd be great to spank them, as I think you said the other day. You want to really take apart one of those shonky teams over Christmas. So
yeah, although they played pretty well against Liverpool.
They have,
so,
they have. It's going to be a tough... And they won, didn't they, at Fulham? They'll come and give it a go.
As I kind of suggested, Company's team they would need time and will probably be more of a force in the second half of the season than they have been in the first half. So we thought the bottom three might be done and dusted by the turn of the year, but there may be wagging tails. Right, until something for the weekend, the last show of the year, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.